Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Can you remember a friendship breakup? How did it affect you? Whether it was maybe a slow drift apart or something, you know, more serious like a friendship betrayal. The breakdown of a friendship relationship after many decades can be particularly painful. We want to hear your stories. If you're happy to share them today, the email is lunchtimelive@newstalk.com. Niamh Delmar is a registered counselling psychologist. Niamh, why do friendship breakups have such an impact on us?
Good afternoon, Andrea. It's loss. You know, friendships are a significant feature of psychological well-being. They provide social connection and support, and they're part of our identity. So we know that they, you know, friendships are really important for our physical health too. They're linked to neural circuits, including dopamine, serotonin, and oxytocin, you know, all those feel-good hormones. So there's a lot of physical stuff going on and psychological and emotional aspects of a friendship.
How difficult is it when you've decided to, I don't know, drift apart or part ways, or maybe there's just that one big thing that happens? But how difficult is it to get over that?
It's really, really difficult. And, you know, we probably give more validation to a relationship split up, but the same piece is happening. You know, we know that that physical aspect is also happening, and it's the same as physical pain. The same area in the brain that affects physical pain is affecting the loss of a friendship as well. There's deep hurt, rejection, shock. Expectations are turned upside down, and it can feel like a real violation. You know, the trust can be damaged, and people are left with, you know, what's wrong with me? Their self-esteem can be affected. So there's a huge amount of hits that the person's getting after it.
Do you deal with this frequently?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, and Andrea, it really is. You know, people come in, and especially I'd have to say women, because they tend, in general, to invest a lot in their emotional friendships, you know, and they may go to their friends more so they would to a partner or to their family member, because these are, again, the chosen bonds. Mm. And it can take a lot of hurt. And especially there could be other things that it's tapping into, other old experiences. And maybe this friend was their one friend. I mean, studies have found that it takes over 200 hours across a span of 6 weeks to become a really good friend or best friend. So obviously, if it's a loss of a really good friend or best friend, a lot of time and emotional investment has gone into that, and then suddenly that's gone. And also there could be links with other pals, you know, so it could be a group, and then suddenly you're ostracized from an entire group or their family.
Yeah, no, it is, you know, when you put it like that, actually, because these are the people that we choose to spend our time with, and maybe some of them you've had from, you know, from early days or early doors, but these are the people that you actually want to give your time to. Esther O'Meara-Donoghue, writer and podcaster, is joining us here, Niamh, on the line as well today. It's difficult to navigate this, Esther, isn't it?
Hi, both of you. It is, because it can feel, especially if you're confiding in a friend, and I know there's been a lot in the media recently about Summer House. It's a Bravo reality show, and three of the main big characters, you know, one person has started going out with another person's ex-boyfriend. And what's kind of interesting about that dynamic is that, you know, maybe one of the friends is confiding in the friend about the husband, and this friend has now started going out with him. And so everyone's sense of the place in the friendship group is in disarray. And I think in that situation, you know, people can feel betrayed, they feel foolish, they start to doubt their own sense of judgment. And it can be devastating, because you just feel adrift and you start questioning your own choices and your ability to select good people and have good people around you.
Have you ever had to deal with a friendship breakup, if you want to call it that, Esther?
I don't think anything is like short and sharp and swift as maybe we've seen in the media in recent days. But, you know, certainly I know that, you know, people you've been maybe very close in your 20s, et cetera, and you're going out, you know, a lot, and you're in a different stage of life. Inevitably over the years, sometimes those friendships drift, and that can be hard when you kind of meet up again. You're trying to restart and kind of go back to a pattern of friendship and interaction that you had, and it's just not working. It can't work in the same way because you're both at different stages in your life, and that can be, you know, at a certain point you have to just, you know, when you step back and go, okay, look, it can't be what it was, you have to kind of let that aspect or that friendship dynamic go and go, okay, we're in a new space now. And sometimes you do, you know, life gets in the way with jobs and families and careers, and you do move apart for a while, but I think sometimes if it's built on a good, you know, basis and you both like each other and you want it to work, then you can kind of move back to one another again. But it's never going to be the same way as no. maybe it was. But you just have to accept and accept people where they are and what they can give you at certain times. And I was just talking about this earlier. Like, I think sometimes, you know, you've got friends who do X, Y, and Z, and that triggers something in you. Or, you know, as you get older, you go, okay, why is that triggering something in yeah. me? Or and maybe if that person, say, is chronically late or whatever, if you're the person who's chronically late and it bugs you that every time you go to meet them, they're an hour or whatever, blah, blah, blah. You know, you go, okay, look, I like this person more than I like this one aspect of the personality. So I'm going to just either adjust my time frame and I'm going to arrive later, or you're going to try and meet them where they are. And I think as you get older and if you value those friendships, then you can kind of adjust yourself and adapt to what they can give you at that time.
I have some experience actually of this in maybe more recent years. And I've often wondered, Niamh, whether it's better to just kind of, you know, let the friendship sort of fizzle out, you know, and those kind of slow drift apart moments, you know, maybe you just meet the person once or twice a year or in group settings, or are you better to have that clean, cold breakaway?
That's a really good point though, Andrea, because there are different levels of friendship and we can't always be expecting that it's going to be, as Esther said, the way it was, or we can't be expecting it to be really close and it's your bestie. You know, sometimes they do go into different levels and maybe you don't need to cut it off completely. But as you say, you might just kind of meet less or meet a few times a year. If it's really worth salvaging, I think people should have that bit of chat, you know, after a little bit of space is given or whatever, especially if it's something big. But, you know, if it is salvageable and overall you feel this was something good for you and it was a healthy friendship, well, then it's worth having a conversation to see what could be manoeuvred. But sometimes it is going to be different stages of life or you've just outgrown a friendship and you can't kind of start hounding the person either. You know, you can throw out a few hooks and say, look, I'm happy to chat or I'm happy to talk. I really valued our friendship. And that's really, you have to know your limits then. I think it is to know what is and isn't your issue when you're coming out of a friendship breakup and have boundaries and know that there's different levels of friendship that can, you know, that you can have in your life, and people have different needs from a friendship.
The listener here makes the point, I don't talk to one of my childhood friends anymore, and I think about her a lot. There was no big blow up, but contact just gradually stopped, and I really have no idea why. I feel that I've had to mourn the friendship.
It is like grief, and it is a grieving process for many people, you
especially
know, and
if
people
don't know why.
Especially when you don't know why, because there's that unanswerable question there, isn't it? Now, you know, that's the piece about having that conversation. If there's a few weeks gone, if there's a year gone, it gets harder as the time goes by. Whereas if people can kind of get in there a bit early and just say, look, we have a chat, or I'm just seeing how you are, what's going on. And that's then at least you know that you've tried to do something. But sometimes people don't want to talk about it, or they may not even know what it's about. Again, it may not be your issue at all.
This texter Esther is wondering if either of you have had to deal with a scenario like this. I'm wondering what to do when I have a friend who I'm bored silly meeting and I have to constantly drag conversation out of them. What would you do in that scenario, Esther?
I mean, I don't know. Yeah, they're bored silly talking to them. Maybe they need to work. If you still really want to be in this friendship for whatever reason, if they're not, you know, exciting you in the same way, maybe you need to kind of just bring some new input, like go and do an activity together, whether there is something that you're kind of actively doing. Because sometimes, you know, it is hard when you're sitting there opposite someone. Maybe you're wrecked and they're preoccupied with something and all they can talk about is, say, for example, their family, and you're like, have you asked me a question? That's one scenario as well. So maybe, you know, you just need to go off and do something, like go for a sea swim. Sometimes, you know, depending where people are, it can be intense just sitting there like, now we're going to have friendship time and have a conversation. But if you maybe, I don't know, go for a dip in the sea or play tennis or go for a walk where you're side by side and not looking at each other. But if someone's, you know, I don't know, I think maybe bring an activity into it, or maybe just do it in a group or something like that. So you've got some, you know, more people to bounce off. I don't know.
Yeah. Any final words, Niamh, for that listener?
Yeah, I think, you know, try to see if any common interest, as Esther says, you know, an activity that you both enjoy. So it diffuses the intensity of sitting across from each other face to face, or bring in other people. And then you've got to question your needs. You know, what do you need from this friendship? What's you know, what's fueling it? What's, you know, what's it about? And what are you hanging on for? if it's not something that's working for you as well, you know, because that's a hard one, because we need to have matches with our personality types as well as other types of needs in a friendship. And that's okay.
Yeah. There was a lot of people getting in touch about this today. A long-term friend ghosted me out of the blue for no reason. Years later, they tried to pick up where we'd left off as if nothing had ever happened. I actually just told them politely they could stick it, as they couldn't or wouldn't acknowledge the hurt that they'd caused me. And this listener says, I was going through a really difficult time a couple of years ago between divorce, quit job, house, country, everything. My friend put me up and I decided to let him safeguard my life savings. After several years contact, my money disappeared. I learned, unfortunately, that money trumps everything. What an incredible, that's a desperate situation. Emails lunchtimelivenewstalk.com. For the moment, that's writer and podcaster Esther O'Meara Donoghue, Niamh Delmar, registered counselling psychologist. Thanks a million for joining us here on the programme today.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.